Last week we began to briefly consider the seven dispensations of time in which God dealt with the human race in different ways and at different times, and there are yet dispensations, a dispensation yet to come. But this is part of a series of lessons on essential doctrines that I gave about 11 years ago. But it's one that I think we need to constantly be reminded of, that this is the message with which we have been given the responsibility to, first of all, know, and secondly, apply to our life, that it governs how we think about things, how we look at the world, how we look at the events of the world. But then also we have the responsibility to share this message with others. And so we began with dispensations. This is one of the fundamental, essential doctrines that we need to understand if we're going to know everything God wants us to know, and if we're going to be everything God wants us to be. We need to have a dispensational view. And as this, the very doctrine of dispensations has been disputed throughout church history, but of late it's even it's under attack. And so we need to know by Scripture, from the Word of God, why do we believe what we believe? Why do we look at history from this dispensational view? And so we began to consider briefly those seven different dispensations that the house laws, which is literally what the Greek word means, the economy in which God held men responsible at different times. So this morning I want us to focus on the dispensation in which we live today, because obviously that's the one, those principles and truths that have been revealed in this dispensation, the dispensation of the church, or as Paul puts it, the dispensation of grace. We are going to be held accountable for what has been revealed to us in this church age. And throughout history, God has held individuals, men and women of the human race, have held them accountable for what he revealed to them in that dispensation. And so we need to know what God's revealed to us. If you're going to take a test in school or at work, you need to know what the material is, don't you? You need to know what you're going to be held accountable for. And so that's what you study in order to prepare for it. The same is true for the Christian walk. We need to understand what belongs to us. As we briefly mentioned in each of the other dispensations that we have considered, God chose one man in order to reveal the revelation of that time, and that individual was then responsible to share it with the rest of humanity. And so we start out with Adam, and then we have Noah, and then we have Abraham, and then we have Moses, each one a single individual that God chose to reveal. So who is it that God has chosen in this dispensation to reveal his will for us? Well, as we will discover through Scripture, that man was chosen by Jesus Christ to be the Apostle Paul. This is why we consider his teaching the teaching for the church, and we'll establish that from Scripture. So I want to establish this morning that the Apostle Paul was God's chosen instrument. And to reject Paul, which again, within Christendom, it's surprising how many consider the Apostle Paul to be a blasphemer, that he is not one that we should hear his words or follow his teaching. But if that's true, we'll find out, the gospel of Jesus Christ has no foundation whatsoever. And so let's consider how God chose the Apostle Paul for this church age. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 24 to 26. Now make no mistake about it, all the apostles, Peter, James, and John, they all received new revelation of God's will for this church age. That is true. But as we will find out, only the Apostle Paul received the fullness of the will of God for this church age. And these other apostles acknowledged that calling of the Apostle Paul. So in Colossians 1, 24 to 26, Paul wrote this to the Colossians: I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, that is the church, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. Now, this word stewardship that's translated in the New King James is the word dispensation. It's the word in the Greek from which we get our word economy, and it literally means house laws, the rules by which a house or an economy are run. And so I became a minister, Paul said, of the dispensation from God, which is given to me for you, not for Paul, but for us, to fulfill. And the Greek word here means to fill up or to make complete the word of God. So this revelation was to fully reveal to the human race everything that God was going to hold the human race accountable for. He gave through the full revelation that he gave to Paul. The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So we'll find out there were things that were revealed to Paul that were hidden, that were not revealed in these other dispensations, because it wasn't time. God was bringing the human race through an education. He progressively revealed what his will was concerning eternal redemption found in Jesus Christ alone. But that was a progressive revelation, just like going through the educational system in the natural. We start out in preschool, and then we graduate, we learn things there, and we build on that foundation, and there are some things that we no longer do when you get to high school or college. They're going to frown at you if you pull out your nap mat. You just don't do that anymore. That you started out there, and that was good and healthy and part of the routine, but you leave that behind now. You build on some things. You still don't poke your fellow student in the eye. You still don't do that. There are things you learned in preschool. But there's a progressiveness to the education. And the same is true with God's revelation of redemption to the human race throughout these dispensations. So if Paul is truly God's choice for this dispensation, then that means we need to pay attention to what he's written. We need to know it, not just hear about it, not just say, yeah, he's the one. We need to understand that the word that God revealed to him was for us and for our edification, and we are now accountable for it. How can we know that Paul really is the one? Maybe he was just an egotistical individual who wanted the attention, and he just declared himself to be the apostle of this church age. That's, of course, a possibility. But when you look at the evidence, it's quite clear that Paul was God's choice. Paul's conversion was unique. Jesus Christ himself appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. There were witnesses of that experience. They didn't understand all that happened, but from that moment, there was a drastic change in the Apostle Paul. Now, if he was an egotistical individual who just wanted power and an attention, he already had it. He had power. He was an educated man. He was a rich man. And if he would have just chose, well, okay, I'm going to make myself the apostle of the church age, what was the result of him becoming the apostle of the church age? He was rejected by his own countrymen, considered an outcast. He was stoned, and he was ultimately killed. Now, would an egotistical individual choose that when he had everything that the world said he ought to have? No. He counted that all loss. He says, I don't want it. I found the truth. I found Jesus Christ. And so just his very conversion and his instantaneous transformation of going from beating and killing and imprisoning Christians who followed Christ, he went from that to an individual that pointed others to a resurrected Christ. Why? Because he saw the resurrected Christ, because he was called to be God's man for this dispensation. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. When we say that Paul's writings are God's will for us in this church age, that does not mean that we ignore the rest of Scripture or say that it has no benefit or no value. In fact, we say the opposite. In fact, the Apostle Paul says the opposite. Here in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all of Scripture is profitable for us. We can learn things from it. It can instruct us, but only as we look at it from the perspective of Paul's teaching. We can learn a lot from the book of Deuteronomy, the law. We can learn a lot from the giving of the law and from what it said, but only when we understand the law from Paul's revelation, with the light of his revelation. So we stand on Paul's epistles, his teaching, to look at everything else that the Bible has to say, and then you will benefit from it. It will be profitable for you. We won't turn there, but in 2 Timothy 2:15, we've read before that Paul said that we are to present ourselves a worker that should not be ashamed before God. We are God's workmen. But if we're not going to be ashamed, if we're not going to fail in that, we need to rightly divide the Word of God. We need to understand these dispensations, understand where everything goes, how everything fits into the eternal plan of God. There are some principles, as I gave the example earlier about the nap mat of kindergarten. There are some things that and principles of a dispensation that stop with that dispensation. And then there are other principles and truths that carry on, just like in our natural education system. 5 + 5 is still 10. You know, that doesn't change. So there are some things that continue on, but there are other things that clearly stop, as we will find out in Paul's writing. In Galatians 1, verses 11 to 17, Paul makes some statements here. And for time's sake, we're just going to have to go through these quickly, but if you want to jot down these references, Galatians 1 and 11 through 17, Paul clearly states that he did not receive the revelation that he was sharing with the saints of that time and that have been recorded for us for this time. He wrote to Galatians that he did not receive that revelation from man. He didn't go to the other apostles and say, what do you think of this? Let's come up with a doctrine so we can have an organized group. No, he didn't do that. He received directly from Jesus Christ the message that was for this church age. It says that Paul says that he was taken out to the desert of Arabia where God revealed these things to him. Now, if Paul truly received this directly from the Lord, to reject Paul's teaching and to reject his place as the apostle of this church age, as many do today, to reject that would be like the Jews rejecting Moses and the law. It'd be blasphemy. Moses spoke directly with God. Paul received a revelation directly from Jesus Christ. So those that accuse us, oh, well, you just worship the Apostle Paul. No, we simply acknowledge the place that God and Jesus gave him. And to reject God's choice is to reject God's will. And I don't want to do that. And so this is, Paul received this message directly from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 1 through 4, if you want to jot that reference down, Paul tells us of that time and that experience when he received that revelation from God. He was caught up into the third heaven where God showed him and told him things, and a lot of the things that God showed him and told him he couldn't even share. But that which God said he should, he did through his epistles that the Holy Spirit recorded for us. So in that Arabian desert, God gave Paul a special revelation for this church age. We need to accept that. We need to know it. We need to accept it and then approach Paul's epistles with that understanding. In Ephesians 3, in verses 1 through 4, let's go ahead and read that one, and it'll build on those other references when you have time to study them. But in Ephesians 3, in verses 1 through 4, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Again, Paul is not boasting in himself, but he is stating, this is the place that God gave me. And the evidence is clear. You can accept it or reject it. But I am the apostle to the Gentiles. God sent me to this church age. The church is primarily made up of Gentiles. Now, there are Jews that are being saved during this age, and they are every bit as much a part of the church as we are. But primarily, the church is a Gentile phenomenon. And Paul was sent to the Gentiles to present these truths. And notice the word dispensation. This is a biblical term. It's a scriptural term to understand that Paul says, I've been given this dispensation, this time in which God will hold men accountable for what God has revealed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul calls this gospel that he preached and the revelation that he received, he calls it my gospel. Romans 2:16 is one of the passages where Paul says that in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, Paul was not saying he's the source of it. He's not saying he invented this gospel. He is simply distinguishing between the gospel that he received and preached as being different from what also was being preached in the name of Jesus. A lot of legality, a lot of other things that they talked about Jesus, but that was their gospel. But Paul's gospel, he says, it's mine in the sense that I received it, but I received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement this is. God will judge all men according to his gospel. That's one of the biggest lies ever told, or it is something that needs to be paid attention to. These are the rules of the house of this time. God will judge all men. He'll judge the unsaved by their rejection of justification by faith and faith alone. Faith in Jesus Christ. You reject that truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he alone, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. You reject that truth that was revealed to Paul, and you're going to be judged. Eternal condemnation if you reject that. But also the Christian, the child of God that has accepted Jesus, we're also going to be judged before the judgment seat of Christ, whether or not we have been found worthy of reward or not. Now, the judgment of the unbeliever will be before the great white throne judgment. And the only thing being determined there is you are found worthy of the wrath of God, eternal condemnation. But the believer is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What did we do with these instructions that we've been given? Did we pay attention to them? Did we value them? Did we let them govern our life? Paul says all men, unsaved and saved, were all going to be judged by Paul's gospel, what was revealed to him. In Romans 16 and verses 25 to 27, jotting them down, Romans 16:25-27. Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. So the only way for you to be the Christian that you need to be is to know what Paul taught and follow it, to know the epistles of Paul, and then to study and understand all of the rest of Scripture in the light of that revelation. And so the only way for us to be the kind of Christians that truly bring glory to God is to know doctrine and to follow it. Do you see how important it is for us to study the Bible? This is what we're going to be judged by. Even as God's children, may we not waste this glorious eternal life that we've been given. And it's eternal, and you can waste it, and you still have a home in heaven. But what a waste when we have been promised access to the fullness of God and the fullness of his grace. Paul goes on to call this revelation not only my gospel, but he calls it the gospel of God. Romans 1:1, he calls it the gospel of God. So there he's pointing to the source of this revelation. Also in Romans 1:9, he calls it the gospel of his Son, of Jesus. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is declared to be the apostle to the Gentiles, which again, to the church, since the church is mainly made up of Gentiles. Galatians 2:7-9. Again, these are scriptures that you need to know what Paul declares about himself, about his doctrine, about his revelation. Because if these statements are untrue, then right now you need to stop and tear out 13 books of the New Testament. Just tear them out. Because Paul's a liar. Paul's a blasphemer. But then we can't stop there either, because we're going to find out that Peter, for example, he referred to Paul's writing and his revelation as scripture. So now, if Paul's a liar, we tear out his epistles out of the New Testament. And now we have to tear out Peter's, because he's a liar too. James and John, they acknowledged the apostleship to the Gentiles of the Apostle Paul. So tear them out too. So now what do you have left in your Bible? If this isn't true, if Paul's a liar, we're not left with anything, are we? But the evidence is clear. This message is for us today. Many of the doctrines that we're going to study in this ongoing series on essential doctrines, they have been revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Some of them, the other apostles also had understanding of. And we'll make some comparisons there as well. The writings of Peter, James, and John do not contradict Paul's writings. Not at all. But the only way to fully understand Peter, James, and John's writing is through Paul's epistles. And none of those other apostles received the fullness of the revelation that Paul did. We're going to briefly, I'll just give you some examples here of some truths that were revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Again, showing the uniqueness of his place and of the revelation that was given him. That's why he says, my gospel. It was unique, what he preached. I'll just throw these references out, and you can jot them down and make this a study. But in Romans 5:20, Paul wrote that the law entered that the offense may abound. That's not how the Jews understood the law. They thought the law was to keep us from sinning. But Paul says that God gave the law that sin would abound, so that men would understand the only answer was the grace of God that supplied the perfect sacrifice for sin. Romans 7:13, Paul said, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. The law wasn't given to get rid of sin. It was given that it would be shown to be vile and sinful, and that man was unable to overcome sin. That's why the law was given. That's what Paul teaches us. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. Well, the Jews didn't think the law ever ended. But Paul, it was revealed to Paul, the purpose of the law was for a time, for a people, and for a place. And that time, that dispensation, is done. That's why we don't say that we live by the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm saved because I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, no, you're not. In fact, if that's your standard, you're going, well, you're not saved. The law was given so you might know that. You can't keep the law. You need a Savior. In 1 Timothy 1:8-11, Paul says the law is not made for a righteous person. It's made for the sinner, to condemn them. And it did exactly that, every man, woman, and child born to the human race. Also in Ephesians 2:16, a revelation that was given to Paul that was something that the Jews of his day just rejected. And that was the equality of the Gentile who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is now equal with the Jew. To have access to the one true God, to know him, and to even go beyond what the Jews' relationship was, but to be born again and to have the very nature of Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 2:16. He reconciled both Jew and Gentile into one body through the cross. Everyone is equal at the cross. As you come to the cross, all have sinned. Well, but wait a minute, I'm a religious man. I'm a Jewish man, or I'm a religious man who goes through a lot of rituals and goes to church. And no, we all come to the same foot of the cross. You're all sinners. On the other side of the cross, we're all equal, children of God. Doesn't matter what your education, your wealth, or race, or anything else. We are in Christ. Colossians 3:11, neither Greek nor Jew means anything to God. Any of the other divisions that men try to put between us and others. Those walls are all torn down at the cross. God revealed that to Paul. And that's a truth we need to lay hold of today. When we look at others that are different from us and those that disagree and even the world that hates us, this is how we need to look at them in the light of Paul's truth. We were all sinners just like them, all worthy of the wrath of God. And my part in this age of grace, this dispensation of grace, is to be an ambassador of this truth that Jesus can save you from your vileness. He can give you eternal life, give your life meaning and significance. In Colossians 1, 26 to 27, this revelation given to Paul was Christ in you, the hope of glory, a future hope. He revealed to us things about heaven that were not fully revealed in the Old Testament. There were things that Paul saw that we can understand are true and are waiting for us, and that God has prepared. We have a certain expectation of glory in eternity. Philippians 3, 7 to 14. Only to Paul was it presented that we have the opportunity to gain Christ. And when you compare other passages of Paul's writing, that we might win Christ as our bridegroom, to be a co-worker with God, but also to be a joint heir with Christ. Only Paul received that revelation, and I'm glad he did. The out-resurrection he mentions in that passage in Philippians. Nowhere else is that term used in Scripture. Resurrection is, but in Philippians 3, the Greek is clearly out-resurrection. Not just resurrection, but a resurrection out from among the righteous dead. That special place. Only Paul received that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, he called it. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Joint heirs with Christ. Only revealed to Paul. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. That's the word there in the Greek is a co-regent, a one who reigns jointly with another, like a queen with her king. That was revealed to Paul, nowhere else. So over and over again, we see that God chose Paul to teach us what we needed to know, for what we are going to be held accountable. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Let's turn there so we read this. The church today has swallowed so many lies, teach so many things under the banner of Christendom. They promote so many fads and programs and fables without ever shining the light of Paul's revelation on those things. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, we're given this exhortation. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. How are we going to know what's good? How are we going to know what to hold fast to? Well, if we believe all the evidence, Jesus chose Paul to reveal what I need to know. And so anything that contradicts Paul's teaching is something I'm to throw away. But anything that's found in Paul's teaching, I'm to lay hold of it. Not let it go, not compromise it. Live according to it. Share it with others. Support it. Sustain it. Promote it. 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which Paul says you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That exhortation's for you, and it's for me. Oh, it was for Timothy. But it's for me and for you as well. So may we fully understand and appreciate what has been committed to us. So many people say, oh, well, doctrine doesn't matter. Brother Doug, you just spend too much time on, you read so many scriptures and it's just kind of boring. I've heard it all. But this is what's going to build you up. This is what's going to prepare you for life, and it's going to prepare you for eternity. May we value this more than gold, more than excitement. I'm excited about this, but excitement alone, we don't live by emotion, we live by faith, and I believe this to be true. All of these truths that we're going to look at, these doctrines, essential doctrines that we're going to look at in this series, they will transform your life. They will give it purpose and direction, stability, but most of all, it'll prepare you for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Let's have a song in closing.